Hi, and welcome back to The Hum. I'm Karina, and this is the podcast that is like the extra bonus kids' sister podcast to The Hum and The Holler. This is the one where I take you from new moon to new moon, looking at all of the astrological highlights in between. And we are beginning this time with the new moon in Aries on April 12th. But before we get into the aspects themselves, what's happening day by day, I want to pull back and look at the bigger themes of the time that we're in. So beginning with the new moon on April 12th, and really stretching throughout the next 4 weeks until the new moon in Taurus, there is a lot happening that is activating our anxiety, and particularly relationship anxiety. And so I just want to put a caveat out there at the beginning of this episode that if you don't listen to this whole thing, if you listen to it, but you don't absorb a lot of it and it kind of goes through your head and you're like, wait, something important was happening on what day? What was it? What I want you to hold, what I want you to be able to come away with from this podcast is just remembering that everything that comes up for you this month that feels emotionally difficult or like a surprise, if it's an unwelcome surprise or a welcome surprise, all of the information that's coming up for you in your relational world, treat it with compassion. Treat yourself with compassion. Don't be too quick to believe the worst case scenario. And also, don't be too quick to believe the best case scenario. Try to distract yourself, pretend it's all fine. So let the information be information. Let yourself learn from the processes you're moving through this month with a sense of confidence that healing is possible, that you are strong enough to reckon with the things you need to heal from, and that you get to rest. And you get to be gentle, and you get to pace yourself as you do this work. And this work really kicks off on April 12th, the day of the new moon in Aries, although you might be feeling some of these currents leading up to that. So if you're listening to this on the 10th or the 11th, you're already kind of swimming in this soup. So let's talk about what is happening. The new moon in Aries is always a really powerful new moon because this is the turning over of the astrological calendar in the cycle of new moons. So there is roughly one new moon per sign throughout the year. And this is when that year begins, is with the Aries new moon. So the energy of this new moon kind of sets the tone for the energy of the rest of the year until we come back to the Aries new moon in 2022. So this one brings a lot of intensity with it. Aries is always a sign that relies on resources of action, initiation, moving toward what is scary and challenging rather than moving away from it. And Aries energy is similar to that burst of energy that plants have when they're busting from a seed and becoming a green sprout, moving up through the cold ground. So if you are living in the Northern Hemisphere in a climate where you are experiencing springtime, you'll see that all around you right now. Everything bursting into bright green buds. So that's that energy. The energy of Aries is like that sap rising. So already we are in a time of increased energy, activation, outward desire, willingness to do what is challenging. And what I want to add to that is that on this day precisely, there will be a Venus square to Pluto as well. And this really sets the tone for the rest of the month. Venus is the part of our psyche that helps us relate to the things that we want to relate to. It is this connective energy of letting us know what we love, what feels good, what's pleasurable, what we value, what we cherish, what we desire on some levels. Mars rules desire on a different level. And when there's a Venus square to Pluto, it means that there is a tense, challenging energy between the two of them. Kind of, I think of a square as like an arm wrestling kind of energy, where these two planets are not necessarily getting along, and yet they're deeply engaged with one another. And Pluto is the planet that guides our process of becoming aware of pain, loss, and trauma, and then committing to doing the release, the healing, the accountability, whatever needs to happen to transform that stuck, stagnant, painful state into one that lets that energy move more freely, that releases the frozenness. So with a Venus square to Pluto, the first archetypal association that feels really strong with that is this is a time when we have all this initiating energy, all this potentially sort of aggressive energy, and we are getting in touch with deep wounds and trauma about where we have been hurt in love. That can go back to our parents, the love we received as children that might have come with abuse or neglect or merely just incapacity to be full enough. It might go back even deeper to our ancestral stories. It might be incredibly present for you in this moment if you are in a relationship that is ending or that needs to end or that you are afraid will end. Or if you are in a relationship where there has been some harm that you're still healing from. So be aware, April 12th is a time to be kind to yourself around the feelings that might get stirred up and to be responsible in how you act on those feelings. The new moon in Aries can encourage a little bit of impulsivity and this reckless sense of, I've put up with this situation too long, it's time to make a big change. And it might be time to make a big change. That might be the best thing you can do for yourself around this date. And just make sure that you are not acting from a place of trauma, from a place of, I feel so angry or I feel so scared that this seems like my only option. Just let that hormonal response of high adrenaline, high anxiety, let that move through your body before you make the decision, before you take the action. So right after this happens, just 2 days later, April 14th, Venus will be moving into Taurus. So Venus has been in Aries, really quick to move, quick to jump, quick to get angry, quick to initiate. And when Venus moves into Taurus, our relationship energy slows, sweetens, and stabilizes. There is this collective shift from what had been a little more rash, a little more reactive, to a sign that Venus is really happy in. Venus and Taurus are best buds. And the tools of Taurus, rather than that pushing, gotta survive, gotta make it happen kind of energy in Aries, Taurus is the tools of, whew, I get to rest now. I just did a big push, and now I've reached the sunlight. I'm gonna just bask. I'm gonna absorb the sunlight. I'm gonna make, you know, all the nutrients I need from chlorophyll, because apparently all of my astrology metaphors today are plant metaphors. And so Taurus is that time of basking and chilling and letting what is beautiful in your life sink deeply into you. And so I want to talk about this because I think we live in a culture where Venus and Taurus can quickly become commodified, where everyone's trying to sell you your way of experiencing pleasure and beauty. While we have Venus and Taurus, it's really worth reckoning with, where are you holding pain around what you have been taught is supposed to be beautiful or is supposed to be pleasurable that you personally either don't have access to, where you feel you might be falling short, or that it isn't just isn't your style. It isn't how you need to do things. It isn't how you access beauty, pleasure, that deep sensual joy, right? So this can be a time of really softening those harder edges of it's supposed to look one way, or I'm supposed to look one way, or this is supposed to feel better than it does, or I'm not going to explore pleasure in this one particular way because no one else I see is doing it. So as Venus moves into Taurus on the 14th, find your way into a relationship of nourishment that involves your body, that involves all of your five senses, that may or may not involve another living creature, and that you don't really have to work at in order to feel the pleasure, right? Like, get creative about where is pleasure accessible to me right now. But the focus is really, how do I recover from trauma? How do I recover from the pain, the anxiety, the urgency, by offering my body frequent contact with what is slow, sweet, and beautiful? Big theme of the month. Moving to the 16th, on this day, the Sun squares Pluto. So we just had Venus squaring Pluto a few days ago. Now the Sun is catching up. Whenever there is a Pluto square, it is a time of reckoning. What is hurting? Where does it hurt? What have I not been wanting to look at? What is making itself known in order to surface and be healed? With Sun square to Pluto, there can be a kind of big collective awareness shift of, oh, we all need to be paying attention to this right now. This can also be a time when secrets are exposed, and it can be a time whenever we're dealing with a Pluto square where anxiety gets a little higher. So if you are already prone to anxiety, insomnia, hypervigilance, or shame, if you have some Pluto aspects to the Sun in your birth chart, this is the kind of day that can really trigger that sense of not being good enough, not being healed enough, coming from a toxic lineage, all of the things that might be skeletons in the closet in your particular psyche, in your particular family. They can take on an extra edge today, so be gentle with this and remember to lean into those Venus and Taurus skills to bring you back to a sense of rest and relaxation, pleasure in your body as a default experience that we all deserve. Moving to the 17th, here we have Mercury catching up with Sun and Venus, also squaring Pluto. And there's also a Jupiter trine to Mars. So this is a little bit of a powder keg of a day. This third square to Pluto so far happens on the same day that our collective energy, vitality, desire to fight, desire to have sex, all of that Mars, like, I want that, or, ooh, I definitely don't want that, and I'm gonna fight you about it. All that Mars energy is getting a boost from Jupiter. Jupiter loves to, kind of. In this moment, I'm getting the metaphor of that game where you keep a balloon in the air, you just keep pushing it up in the air and make sure it doesn't fall. Jupiter does that to the planets that it touches, and it does that and also kind of blows up the balloon bigger at the same time. So our Mars energy is getting extra big today. At the same time that Mercury square Pluto is continuing the story of what do we need to look at that is hard to look at, that is painful, that is personally or collectively tragic and broken and in need of some kind of repair, redemption, or release. So with both of these going on at the same time this day, there is just a little bit extra potential that people are going to be stuck in their anxiety patterns, stuck in their trauma patterns, and then pop off in a big way. This can be the day of I've taken it too long and I need to break. And so if that is you, find a way of releasing your big explosive feelings that does not cause harm. right? Find a way of really being in them and being with them in a way that you are choosing and not that you are just feeling pulled along by the feelings, right? I don't believe that Mars energy is needing to be repressed. I also see Mars energy doing a lot of damage in our culture. I think there are constructive ways of expressing outrage, of expressing anger, of using your life force, of using your sexual energy, and that these constructive ways might not always look culturally acceptable as well, right? And that's really different than destructive ways of using that same energy. So think about the impact of your actions on this day. Think about what impact you want them to have, who you are aligned with, and don't be too quick to assume that you know exactly what's going on or exactly who the enemy is, because a Mercury square to Pluto can get you into a little bit of a paranoid state of, you know, a little bit of an us against them. I know the real truth. They are the enemy. So be aware of a certain kind of fear narrative coming up on the 17th. And then on the 19th, the sun moves into Taurus. Again, a cooling, a slowing, a settling kind of energy. This particular move is not going to be as powerful. You're not going to feel that sun into Taurus as, and now we all take a nap and everything is chill for the rest of the month, or, you know, until the sun moves into Gemini. It won't be that, but it will be foundational. It will be a foundation for the more stressful aspects that are happening throughout the month. And again, with Sun and Venus in Taurus, there's a lot of potential here to remember that it's not a race, to remember that after doing something big that gets your adrenaline running and gives you that sense of fight or flight, that you get to come back to rest and recovery, that is how it works, so that you don't get all of that tension trapped in your nervous system and running the show. On the 23rd, Mars is moving into Cancer. So let's talk about that a little bit. Mars, our passion, our vitality, our fight and sex. Mars doesn't always know how to get its needs met in the sign of Cancer. This planet is the part of ourselves that wants to act in self-defense, and Cancer gives us the tools of nurture and connection. And so when Mars moves into Cancer, there is always a risk that we collectively are going to get a little muddy in how we understand our needs and our boundaries, and that how we express them will be indirect. People who are born with Mars in Cancer often need to learn, how do I express my anger directly and cleanly so that it's not coming out as passive-aggressive hints or resentfulness building up until it kind of oozes out, right? So if that is already your conflict style, if you recognize yourself in that and you're like, ooh, that's me, be extra careful during Mars in Cancer. Be extra careful to name your anger, to claim it, to recognize it. And one of the best tools with Mars in Cancer is to let that self-defense be more expansive so that you identify with more than just your own ego needs. That's kind of the goal here, is who are my people? Who are my people that I am willing to protect and defend? There's some trickiness here around a certain kind of boundary drawn around who are my people. You know, in that sentence even, we can hear nationalism, white supremacy, religious fundamentalists, all of the ways that people draw a line around a certain group and consider everyone else not quite as human, right? Not quite as deserving of life, happiness, resources. So again, be careful with that too. Watch your own impulse to draw a firm and hard boundary around who you consider lovable, of value on your team, and who you consider the outside world for whom I have no responsibility and do not need to care. With Mars in Cancer, the highest goal of this placement is to expand that circle of care and to expand your capacity to summon your fierceness, your energy, your protective capacity, and use it more broadly than just for people that you consider closest kin, most aligned. On the 24th, we have Venus moving into the same spot of the sky as Uranus, called a conjunction. And Mercury is going to be right there too. So Venus, Mercury, Uranus, all conjunct on the 24th. And this is kind of a fun pileup. Uranus is an energy we have not checked in with much so far this month. And what Uranus brings is a desire to break free from anywhere where we feel restricted by the past, restricted by tradition, institutions, structures that were not built for our best interests as we grow and learn and transform as individuals and as a collective. So Uranus is that impulse that pulls us toward a better future by being experimental, by being willing to overturn the old in order to bring in the new. So it has this revolutionary flavor. It also has like an inventive flavor. It's associated with technology as well as breakthroughs in science, as well as queerness, as well as astrology. So if you do the math of what all those things have in common, we find this sort of common denominator of Uranus rules the things that aren't common in the culture and yet are trying to pull the culture in a certain direction, right? So Venus and Mercury, the planets of love and our thought patterns, communication styles, both hanging out with Uranus, this is a day to really have some creative brainstorming. If there's anything that you are trying to work on that is a creative project, a writing project, some kind of wild idea involving your friends, your loved ones, this is the day to get a jump on it. This is really a good day for understanding what we are trying to move toward with a sense of openness and potentially some like aha moments, like light bulb going off. And there's some extra energy to make needed changes happen on this day. So really, really good if you have been creatively blocked, if you are an artist of any kind who has been in that COVID slump of, lockdown begins and you're like, this is when I'll write my novel. And then you're like, oh no, I am actually living through intense collective trauma. This is definitely not when I write my novel. This is when I struggle to survive and not fall prey to my worst nightmares, right? So with that as the background, this is a day that opens and expands your intellectual, intuitive, inspired self, and could be a really good time to dust off that novel. And then on the 25th, we have Saturn square to Venus. So, womp womp. Uranus and Saturn are really close to an exact square throughout this whole year, which means every time a planet moves through and hits one of them, it's going to hit the other one real soon after. This isn't the worst thing though. So a Venus square to Saturn, or a Saturn square to Venus, however you want to say it, is far more interested in getting the work done in the way it needs to get done than in that big expanse of brainstorming. So the worst case scenario is on the 24th, you have a great idea. You're like, oh, this is wonderful. Let me think about this all day. Tomorrow I'll get started on it. And then the 25th, you wake up and you're like, oh God, that was a terrible idea. Why did I think I could do this? I don't have these skills. I don't have this time. So watch out for that pattern. because there's another way Saturn can look. Saturn can come in as a coach rather than a critic. And especially if you are beginning anything kind of creative, you don't want too much Saturn involved. If you have a project, and by project I mean I'm writing a novel, I'm planting a garden, I'm learning how to cook, I'm trying to heal my relationship with my family, I am going to therapy with my partner, right? Like any of these projects where something Venusian for you involving love and pleasure is undergoing a process of education and commitment, right? Of I'm showing up for this work. If you have one of those and it is going well, then this Saturn square to Venus can be a really good day to just pause, assess, take some notes, think about where am I so far, where would I like to be? What has been working tactically, what has not? What could I change moving forward? Could be a little bit of a day of introspection, being withdrawn, noticing perhaps your own critical voice and how you can soften it. That's one version. If, on the other hand, you are in a space where your Venusian projects, your artistic, creative life, your romantic or friendship life, feel very tenuous right now, and that could be because they're brand new, just starting to write this novel, just starting to date this person, or it could be because there's been a lot of anguish, right? This relationship has been troubled for a while. My sitting down to do artwork has been painful for a while, has been not something I access. If that's the case, then I would recommend that you just kind of skip the 25th as a day in which you're trying to get that work done, right? Notice the big feelings that might come up, notice the narratives, and don't try to use that Saturn energy necessarily and be like, today is the day I fix it, because it's going to turn out too harsh, and it's too brief an influence for really working on it that way. So take a break, honestly, take a break from that work, come back to it after the Saturn transit passes, so, you know, just in a few days. And then on the 27th, in line with all of the Plutonian energy that's been happening earlier this month, this full moon in Scorpio brings to light all the parts of our psyche we might want hidden. So think about what was coming up for you earlier this month when Venus, Sun, Mercury were all making that square to Pluto. And notice what, in that experience, are you now ready to fully release? What have you learned? What do you know about yourself? Can you write it down clearly? Can you look at that sentence and say, yep, this is what has happened to me. This is what I have done. This is how it feels. This is how it used to feel. And then, you know, rip up that piece of paper, burn it, put it in the water with gratitude, do a ritual, let this full moon take from you some of the heaviness of what you have been holding. And then on the 30th, the sun moves conjunct Uranus. So sun is catching up with where Mercury and Venus were quite recently. And this is another day for good creative energy, for having that buzzing, excited head full of possibility and wild ideas. So keep notes, make plans, dream big, be careful to not outpace yourself. Uranus can feel a little bit caffeinating, it can feel energizing, it can make us feel a sense of urgency that is not actually an accurate reflection of the timing in reality. So the Saturn square to the sun is going to come in a few days. Just be aware that's coming. So lean into the brainstorming energy today and be aware that you can always revise, critique, rearrange, change your mind. So on May 2nd, we have a Mercury trine to Pluto. And this is a really good time to reflect on what was coming up for you on April 17th. When Mercury squared to Pluto. So if you felt a lot of anxiety and urgency that day, this is a beautiful day to have a smoother, more clear perspective on what was coming up, what did it mean, why did I act the way I did, why did they act the way they did, what is it all about? And if you learned something important about yourself or someone else earlier, on the 17th, around that week when there's a lot of Pluto transits happening, if you had a truth bomb explode around then Squares to Pluto can really bring those kind of like big talk show moments of you never knew it, but this is a day to circle back to what happened from a calmer perspective. And with this Mercury trine, there's also just, whatever might have happened or not happened for you on the day that Mercury squared Pluto, this is a day when you'll get some clearer insights about a lot of things. There's just it's a time when the collective wavelength is tuned into the channel of, oh, what is happening in our hidden depths? And that radio station is coming in more clearly than it often does. So it cuts through the nonsense, kind of, it's a day where you can choose to listen to those deeper truths. And then, as promised, May 3rd, Saturn square the Sun. So this is a day that has a strong potential for self-criticism to be one of the major themes of the day, because Saturn is the part of ourselves that helps us assess our progress toward what it is we're trying to do with ourselves in this lifetime. Saturn squares are always times when we are checking in and noticing, am I in alignment? Am I out of alignment? Am I doing the things that are going to get me to where I want to be? And if not, why not? And if I need to change what I'm doing, how do I change it? That's really the most emotionally neutral way to think about a Saturn square. But Saturn itself is not always emotionally neutral in our experience of it. Saturn can bring up survival fears, fears around long-term scarcity, right? Saturn is the piece of ourselves that has a lot of associations to childhood, to the kind of parenting we received, and particularly the parenting that was focused on making sure that we could learn how to be good adults, right? So all the things that kept us safe. But that we're kind of like, no, don't touch the stove. No, don't do that. And then also, no, you can't go out. You got to do your homework. Like all of those messages of have some discipline, don't do anything dangerous, be cautious, right? That's all Saturn. And so your relationship to Saturn probably has a lot to do with your relationship to your parents and how they gave you discipline. And so that internalized voice can often become a really strong internal critic. And that can be true even if you didn't have very disciplinarian parents. That can be true just if you had a lot of anxiety, because Saturn is the voice of survival. If I don't do X, I'm not going to make it. If I don't have this much money in the bank by the time I'm this old, I'm never going to survive under capitalism. How will I ever retire? Right? Fears like that. So, on a day when Saturn squares the Sun, ultimately, what we are looking for is that emotionally neutral capacity to check in on our progress and just do some assessment. And there's always the risk of that internal critic jumping in and making your life so difficult that you just turn away from the ambitious projects or goals that the sun is really here to live into. So be aware of that and notice what you can do, what you can try if you are experiencing that. To calm down that inner critic, to just notice that the inner critic is not your whole self and is even a part of yourself that kind of just needs some gentleness and some love. The same way if you meet an animal cornered in an alley and it starts growling at you, probably just needs to calm down, just needs some gentleness, right? That growl is a self-protective one. So think of your own inner critic in the same way. And then on the 6th, we have Venus trining Pluto. So that Mercury trine happened earlier. This one is really similar to that, but we're working again with Venus rather than Mercury. So we're working on an opportunity to better integrate and understand any relationship issues that might have been triggered during that Venus square to Pluto on the Aries new moon on the 12th. So you might want to think back to that time period and consider what has shifted in just a few weeks around how you were thinking and feeling then, and how you're approaching it now. And if that doesn't feel useful for you, this is also just a beautiful time to do some deep healing around your relationship to love, to being lovable, being worthy of love, loving others. And when we're talking about healing and Pluto, Plutonian healing is really aligned with releasing what is no longer serving us, what has lived and died and is no longer alive for us, and with surfacing what is currently hurting and needs attention. So even though this is a trine, which is a soft aspect, this kind of healing opportunity isn't, it might not feel soft. It might not feel like the softest massage or like a sweet spa day. It might feel a little bit more like a really cathartic therapy session where you're ugly crying, but then afterwards you're like, whew, you know, cleaned out. So that is possible on this day, May 6th. And then May 8th, Jupiter square Venus. So coming right on the heels of that trine to Pluto and overlapping with it a little bit, this Jupiter aspect brings just like an extra boost of all the things Jupiter likes to give us: optimism, joy, enthusiasm, and you combine this with Venus, and there is a way in which this can be a really fun time, because Venus wants us to experience pleasure and beauty and be in touch with what we value. So because Jupiter really increases the energy of whatever it touches, and this is a hard aspect, it's a square, what that means is that this is a day when your desire to experience pleasure, beauty, and love can get pushed sort of to an extreme. And so you might be tempted to buy some nice things. You might be tempted to like really seek out connection. You might be tempted to lie in bed all day eating ice cream. And whatever it is that feels alluring to you on this day, just make sure that you are making wise choices, right? Wise enough choices. Be aware of consequences. That's all. So if you're spending money, just before you hit, you know, click on the PayPal button or whatever it is, walk away for 10 minutes, think about it, and think, is this really what's going to increase my happiness right now? Is this within my budget? Is this something I need? Is this something I've been wanting for a long time? Or is this a sudden whim? The internet advertised something at me and now I must have it, right? So just do a little assessment. Same thing with your relational energy. And if you are at risk still of catching or spreading COVID-19, if you are not fully vaccinated, hanging out with other people who are fully vaccinated, keep in mind that this is a day when you might want to bend the rules because you goddamn want to hug someone. And just remember the potential consequences, which are huge. Just remember those consequences are huge. Okay. And finally, on May 9th, we have Venus moving into Gemini. Huge lift in our collective energy around how we handle our relationships, what love looks like, how we're communicating, how we're getting along. Venus in Gemini is far more social, far more talkative, far more interested in, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, hey, is there another way to look at this? Oh, I'm wondering, should these two people know each other? Like it's a connective, curious energy. Venus in Taurus is very much like, I'm going to turn off my phone. I'm going to take a nap. I am going to love up on the people that I feel very relaxed with, but I am not necessarily psyched about a party, right? Unless it is a party where people are eating chocolate, listening to soft music, and dripping honey on each other, right? Like that is a very Venus and Taurus kind of party, but loud music, loud talking, not so much. So Venus and Gemini, more of a party kind of placement. And what this also means is we are done with Venus and the other planets that are going to catch up and move into Gemini later this month. They have all moved through that part of the sky where there's a lot of relationships to Pluto happening right now, Aries and Taurus. And so this is a lift on that level as well. It's sort of marking this big change from deep down internal processing kind of energy. What do we need to look at that's hard to look at? What kind of strength do we need to summon to do that? What kinds of courage do we need to summon to do that? Into an energy that is far more interested in returning to a place of joy, wonder, and curiosity. So with Venus in Gemini, there is the potential to really be closing out a cycle of the hard work. And I say this as someone with a lot of Virgo energy who loves the hard work. And so I just want to throw in just a little warning, which is You may be feeling as though it is time to finish this hard work, and it might not actually be true for you, right? So ideally, when we lean into Gemini energy, Gemini complements the harder things that we're doing in our lives. It brings us that lightness, that airiness, that perspective we might otherwise lose, but it doesn't distract us from the work that still needs to be done, the healing that still needs to be done, the deeper feelings. So that's the goal. Work with Gemini as an exciting pull toward the future and not so much as a peace out, I am done learning any lessons and I'm going to party, right? And that is it. That is all of the astro weather from the Aries new moon up until, but not including, the Taurus new moon, which will happen on May 11th. So stay tuned for that. I will be dropping the episode for the month that begins with the new moon in Taurus on May 9th is when you should look for that. And in the meantime, good luck with getting into a place of deep self-compassion and curiosity as you move through the various exciting and challenging energies of this month. And if you haven't already listened to The Hum and the Holler, the episode that came out this month for Hover Here Briefly, I highly recommend it. There is a lot of crossover between the spells that we make for this calendar and the astrology of what's happening. So it might be fun to check that out.